morning, folks. Happy Friday. Welcome back. And this is the day when we wrap up the week. We have the other Colorado host up in the mountains near Gunnison is with me this morning. That would be David Justice. And we got lots to talk about. Arguably, I guess, given that it's the so-called holiday season, and the only thing that seems to be on a lot of people's minds is not whether they can go shopping and get what they need or not, but whether they can pay for groceries. So there's not going to be that much Christmas shopping. There is also not as much, I guess you'd say, other news. What there is the kind of stuff that we've heard before. Although, yeah, we're going to talk about a few of these stories. They're getting worse and worse about rubbing people's noses in it. And ultimately, it's an interesting week out there. Anyway, so good morning, David. Let's go where you'd like to go. I'll say howdy. How you doing?
Well, I'm doing fine. Thanks for having me on again. I'm running out of things to say. The more I'm witnessing evil at work, the obvious need for them to obfuscate truth and so that they can further their agenda, I'm realizing that what they need is time, and they've become so calloused that they don't care even if they get caught because they feel they have the edge. So it's shows like this, I think, that we can work to take away that edge by informing people and bringing people up to speed with what's actually going on. So I appreciate the opportunity to join in this conversation.
Okay, well, let's do a little bit of taking away that edge then, because there are so many things that are, again, some of them seeping out like, maggots from a corpse. Let's go here. I know you wanted to talk about this one first, and we'll get it up and get it out of the way because it is kind of stinky. The one I'm looking at is from PJ Media, and it says, "Meet the Merchant of Death." And this is a reference to the fact that the Biden-Fuhrer and the regime just traded for a Russian arms dealer, one of the most notorious on the planet, Victor Bout. He's known as the Merchant of Death, in order to release Brittany Griner. Comment on that, if you would, David. Tell us a little bit of the background and what you're thinking.
Well, I don't have a lot of the background. I know that the character that they pulled out is very anti-American, very anti-conservative, anti-truth. And she was arrested for some drug deal that she was involved in over in Russia. She's a professional athlete.
Oh, wait a second. You're not talking about the Merchant of Death. You're talking about the other side of the trade. Let's make everybody make sure we're clear on that. Go, yeah, but continue.
You mean the Merchant of Death, the arms dealer.
Well, it could have been either one. I mean, basically, it's like whose bad guy is better. It's which tells you a little bit about where we are, doesn't it?
Well, they traded for a Russian's arm dealer, big time, and got a professional athlete and left a Marine in jail over there. So I don't know what more there is to say. I want to dignify it with much conversation, except it just seems like it's just one more thing to stick their finger in our eye and provoke us to anger, to provoke us in some way, or to perpetuate the chaos that ultimately they want. See, they have the advantage here. Chaos is easy. Order is not so easy. We're on the side of the rule of law and order. They're on the side of tear it down and cover their butts because they're in so deep into this evil. And so as long as they can, again, obfuscate what's really going on, they can continue in their agenda, which is to bring us to our knees so that we'll be happy to accept their monetary system no matter what.
Well, we'll come back to that in a second. But since we're talking about rubbing people's noses in it, let me pull this story up. I hadn't thought about the connection, but when you started talking there, I realized, oh, yeah, this is right in the same ballpark. Biden's kinky they, them, that's the multiple pronoun, nuke official. Now, this is the scumbag, basically, that's into puppy love, that got caught snagging a high-end, designer bag from the luggage carousel. Now he has been charged with yet another airport theft. Maybe there was some good female underwear in there or something. But anyway, the headline here I like. It's not just that he has been caught again, or maybe, given that he's been caught once, you know that there's probably lots of other similar ones. But it says in the story, if only the puppy play aficionado had given the regime even a little bit of clue as to his aberrant tendencies. Maybe this could have been avoided.
Well, you know, a tree is known by its fruit, and the fact that he's been caught twice now prompts me to wonder just how many times he's gotten away with it.
Sure.
Makes me wonder.
Well, you got to figure
they've been watching because him and his ilk have gotten away with stealing so many of them, and we've always chalked it up to just lost luggage.
But the thing is, I mean, the bigger picture here is not whether this guy is a nutcase and aberrant, as they put it, and a whole bunch of other things. The key is that this is his really only qualification, and that's true of so many others. Bud is gay, you know, the transportation secretary. Doesn't know anything about transportation, but he can tell you about gay puppy love. Well, no, I guess he has to go to his partner in crime to do that. If there are people that are essentially incapable of doing the job, but they have something particularly kinky that they can say, hey, this is the first bisexual puppy love parrot aficionado that likes to have multiple, who knows? Well, that will be the thing that will make the headlines. Forget the fact that they don't know anything about what they're doing, but I guess that makes it better because then you can get away with stuff. And that's precisely what we're seeing too. I got one more. This one, if you haven't seen this, this is pretty disgusting. There is a there's a story out of the Project Veritas. Took me just a second to come up with it. James O'Keefe's organization, Project Veritas, a Chicago private school principal basically bragging about how he just loves selling kink to kiddies during LGBTQ month. And I'm not even going to read the story on air because basically the kindest word in here that these people, this scumbag says he just loves teaching to kids is how they brought the LGBTQ folks in. They had the drag queens. They passed out cookies. Oh yeah. And they passed out sex toys, dildos, and butt plugs so that they could show the little kiddies how they work and tell them, what do you think about this? This is the kind of stuff, David, you say, well, this is because they don't want to teach them how to read, write, and use their brains. Sorry, it just infuriates me that this is being done to kids, and they're proud of it.
Well, the agenda is to conquer from within by dividing us against each other so we're not speaking and so that they can get away with the crimes against humanity up to and including their human trafficking and grooming of in the world of pedophilia. And you know, if we weren't living through this, my mind is has a hard time accepting that it's real, but we're witnessing it. And it was only an imagination that could ever get this bad. It was one of those things that I used to be in denial about, that it could ever look like this. And here we are, and it's an agenda, and it's real. And if anything, it should be provoking us to, you know, ask for an understanding of truth so that we know how to navigate our way through this complete chaos.
Well, and you're right. And it's also yet another indication of why it is that we need to be saying, okay, hey, what's it going to take? How long are people going to put up with this stuff? I do want to take just a quick break for a couple of pieces of, I won't call them good news, but they're at least less bad news. My jaw hit the floor, says one. Elon Musk announced Tuesday that he had fired the former scumbag, so-called FBI attorney James Baker, who came to Twitter from where else? The FBI, to serve as deputy general counsel. And he has been fired after he supposedly vetted evidence, information, that essentially they were kept in the dark. Supposedly the Twitter upper management was kept in the dark about, with the exception of some of them, I'm sure. And unbeknownst to Musk, this guy has been knee-deep in all of this skullduggery and scumbaggery for a long time. In light of concerns about Baker's possible role in the suppression of information important to the public dialogue, he was exited. Yeah, don't let the door hit you in the butt, you scumbag, on the way out. From Twitter today, Musk wrote earlier in the week.
Well, by inference, you know, let's look deeper. Just the fact that James Baker, who happened to be counsel for the FBI
and for Comey, who loved the guy, and guess why?
And so the fact that he's working for Twitter, it connects the dot that Twitter has been being used as a information platform for the spying on the American people. There's little to no question left that it was a control mechanism to control the narrative and to, by censoring truth and open conversation, and by promoting an agenda that is completely anti-truth.
It's exactly
the opposite of how Twitter was sold originally, as it was represented to the American people originally. It's the same with all of the other social networks, Facebook, YouTube. They're all governmental means of spying and getting evidence on the people for whatever purpose they choose. Go ahead, Mark.
Okay. Well, the second installment of the Twitter files has been released. I guess the bottom line here is that the more we find out about it, the more we realize, hey, yet again, the conspiracy theorists were right all along. Twitter was, as you said, supposed to be something very different than it turned out to be, which is part of the control grid or well into the core. So everything that comes out just says no surprise. It wasn't like we didn't know this before. I mentioned two pieces of good news. This one is at least interesting good news. Fresh off their victory lap in Georgia, where exactly as everybody knew they were going to do, the left stole another race and then stole the Senate, securing their 51-49 majority. Uh-oh. Now, this is not the one Manchin that people thought it might be, but Kyrsten Sinema has basically said, I'm not going to put up with this anymore. Quote, I'm tired of the partnership. And she has, no, she didn't switch to Republican. She's, after all, still pretty far left. But she is going independent. So it's kind of a semi-gut punch, as the story puts it. I'm registered as an independent now. Some people might be surprised, but it makes a lot of sense. She said to, who else? The leftist Jake Tapper. I've never fit into a party box. I've never really tried to. Okay, well, she gets at least partial credit for realizing that she might not want to be identified with those who are trying to destroy the country openly. Go ahead.
Well, treason, you know, when everybody's involved in treason, none dare call it treason. Same with conspiracy. You know, we've got a choice. We're at a crossroads. We've been at a crossroads for a long time. It's just that now it's becoming so obvious. You know, we get to choose whether we're going to pursue truth or whether we're going to pursue a narrative that leads us into total chaos. So it's refreshing to see at least a Democrat that realizes that she's been leaning toward the party line and she wants to break away from that. But I don't think it's going to be enough.
No.
But, you know, it's a good story.
Again, there's no political solution to a spiritual problem, and the economic problem at this point is beyond salvation, truly. The United States dollar is dead. Stick a fork in it. Egypt this week announced they were going to go to the BRICS-oriented banking type system. Essentially, we're seeing the chinks come apart now, and the wall is coming down. The dollar is all but a dead man walking. Yeah, it looks strong. That's kind of the way that the tide moves out before the tsunami comes in. It's strong because the Fed is trying to raise interest rates and make it look better because it pays more against inflation than all the other currencies. But they're all fiat. Oh, well, with one potential exception that's working its way to the fore, and that, of course, is the Russian ruble, which is now increasingly. They've been talking about this for months, but they keep moving towards making it gold-backed.
Go ahead. Mm-hmm. Well, I think that he did declare to be gold back. He'll take gold or the ruble, which is backed by gold, in exchange for oil. So he's breaking away from the status quo.
Yeah, and bear in mind, it's not the same thing as what it truly means to be gold back. They're not there yet, but they're moving in that direction. Gold back. Remember, I was in a coin store this week for a few minutes. It was kind of funny to go look, even though I've seen them, to see the pieces of paper sitting there. You could buy some silver certificates or gold certificate, and basically. Gold back means it says pay to the bearer. Here's a $10 U.S. gold certificate. Pay to the bearer, $10 in literally the weight of gold. And that was back when the dollar was actually redeemable for gold. Now that's why what was in those days 20 bucks to the ounce is, let's just say, a whole heck of a lot more and going higher because it's the dollar going down.
Yeah, just so the audience really understands what we mean when we use the word fiat. I like to sum it up like this. The word fiat means because we say so. In other words, legislation is passed declaring a private note to have the same value as actual value that, for instance, in a commodity like gold. So fiat is merely a legislative or an executive decree declaring something to be money or currency. And I think that this is how they've managed to get around the scriptural prohibitions against usury and the, you know, requirement for a seven-year Sabbath, cancellation of debt and 50-year jubilee. I think because we've gone into this private currency system that the people that issue the notes retain control of the notes so they can decide how the notes are circulating in an economy. And that's the only way I can make sense out of how our religious institutions, Christian and Judaism and all those people that profess to believe that the Bible is the word of God and that, you know, we have one Father in heaven, how they can get around the economic prohibitions and requirements that would keep an economy stable.
Oh, you know,
and,
honestly.
So as long as we're operating under a private Federal Reserve system, a private global currency system, we will be forever in bondage to the will of this private entity that issues them, Mark.
Okay, well, I agree with you all, except for the part about how they get around, quote-unquote, the biblical prohibitions. And the answer is they just ignore it. They just ignore the Constitution now, too. They've moved so far away that they're not even pretending. But the way that the whore church, and I use that term explicitly, especially in this context, the way they have gotten away from it is just simply to say, hey, the law's done away with. Nailed to the cross. You can't keep that Torah thing anyway, so don't even try. Besides, the world wouldn't work if we couldn't violate God's law, and, you know, what do we care about the proclaim to the world of freedom, right? Declare freedom throughout the land. Declare liberty. No, we don't have any of that anymore.
Well, we don't have that because we're operating under a private system of law. There's a constitutional system where the American people are autonomous, they're sovereign, and they, through the Constitution, they set up governments that serve us. Then there's the one that's set up through private contracts, contractual obligations and quid pro quos, that the entangling alliances with other individuals, other nations, private institutions like the World Economic Forum, like the NIH, like the CDC, which are not government, but because of the contracts and the treaties that the government enters into with these people, they create another law form, and inside that law form is a non-constitutional law form. It's, so the Constitution, this is how we have been able to that's how they've been able to get us to abandon the Constitution, is because we prefer the comfort of all these private agreements and the allure and the seduction and all the temptations that come with the monies and the strings attached to these private agreements. And so
exactly.
We have the nations of the world, by relying on these private organizations, have established another branch of government, which is basically total control. I like to use the term admiralty jurisdiction, because it's run like just like you would on a ship. There's rules and you got procedures, and they set up a commercial code to govern all transactions. So it's this extra constitutional reality that they've established, and inside that narrative, they're taking control of the world.
Yep.
Go ahead,
no,
Mark.
No doubt. Well, the way I put it is, it's literally just private law, and you're right. It's called admiralty law, law of the sea, as opposed to law of the land. Lots of ways to make the same point, but ultimately, the way Yeshua said it was, you can't serve two masters. You know, choose this day whom you will serve. If you love one, you'll hate the other. And Paul says, you are that one slave who you submit yourselves to obey. Over and over again, the Bible tells us, hey, you can choose. You can choose the law of this world, Satan's law. He's run the planet for, you know, however many millennia at this point. Or you can choose the one that the Creator wrote for us in genuine print, that back when we had a constitution, it actually had a lot of elements that were consistent with it. So we've moved so far from that there's not even any question. There was a piece from John Whitehead this week. I like his work. He's a constitutionalist, and he's essentially writing, look, those that are all upset claiming that Trump said the Constitution needed to be done away with. No, I don't think they can read. Trump is not particularly articulate when it comes to some things, and he said something about the Constitution being done away with. Well, really, what he was saying, what he should have said is, it's already been done away with. The fruit is what you can see. So the point is, people get all bent out of shape about, oh, no, Trump said that the Constitution needs to be done away with. No, he's making an observation of what's already happened. He just didn't put it very well. But on the other hand, that's because most people are totally blind to the fact that it's been dead for decades. Go ahead, David.
Well, okay, so the public education, indoctrination system hasn't taught some of the fundamental principles of American jurisprudence, such as one nation under God. What does that actually mean? It means that the foundation of America is the same foundation that Israel had. There was a covenant that the people entered into with God, and that covenant is truth. And inside that covenant, the Declaration of Independence was written and governments were established basically to serve the people in their capacity as autonomous entities within the body of Christ. Yes, that is a factual, legal, foundational principle upon which America was built, but that's not taught in the church. It's not taught in any of the schools. And as a result, we don't understand as a people, we don't understand what the Constitution is. We don't understand that it's actually an establishment of government and a grant of power and a restriction on the power granted. And we call those rights, but they're actually limitations. And so the whole point of the Constitution was to restrain the power of government, to limit it so that it doesn't become a dictator, so that it doesn't become a tyrant, so it stays within the bounds of an operation, because otherwise government is pure force, as Washington said, fearful master and a dangerous servant. So in the process of not knowing the Constitution, another law has infiltrated and we find ourselves giving allegiance to that other law form. And it is a law that brings us into total bondage. And the result is much different than the allure that seduced us to get into this original contract outside the constitutional scope of power. But here we are, and this is, you know, we reap what we sow, and the law world has sown this new venue, this neo conservative, neo-democratic, neo-republican albatross that is now
it's fascism,
enslaving
us. Yeah. It's literal fascism because it's a public-private partnership. It's a combination of law.
It is.
And if you think about it, it's a beautiful system if your goal is tyranny, because essentially they can say, hey, this is a public organization, and therefore there are rules that you must follow. But when it comes time to say, oh, well, but you don't have any rights in here, not the right to be free of illegal search and seizure, to keep and bear arms, to speak, to worship your God. Why? Because it's private. So it's private when it suits us. It's public when it suits us. How long have we been seeing that with, say, oh, I don't know, two Facebook or any of the other big socialist partners that can say, well, I'm private, so I don't have to obey your rules, but you have to obey my rules. Isn't that sweet? Unless people wake up, David, they're going to walk this road. Go ahead. We're almost at the break.
Yes, you were almost at the break. Okay, so there was an interesting thing. There was an election case being heard by the Supreme Court this week. And the scary thing for the leftists was that the state legislatures might have some independent authority over elections. And the funny thing was, proponents of the states having the election, the right of governing elections within the states, was actually consistent with the Constitution, and it was being mocked and ridiculed by the opposition. It's an amazing thing to hear.
It is, and it shouldn't surprise us at this point, though. All right, well, let's see here. We should have music momentarily. There we go. So we'll say, stay with this folks. We'll be right back after this.
I see the bad moon.
are back, folks. This is the Drive Time Friday Show, talking about some of the things going on in the world. And as we went to break, I guess we have broached this topic. I want to spend a couple more minutes on some of the economic news that came out this week. And I'll pause. I've got about two stories here that'll help to set the stage. Then we'll go to David for a second and let him comment on it. But one has to do with the plandemic, and it says basically that the remote work revolution, as they called it. Now, if you think about what is planned and how you need to have the mark of the beast in order to be able to work, well, better still, if the only way you can work is remotely via the internet, and we can control you digitally via the digital gulag. But the remote work revolution, part of that, has now wiped out almost $500 billion, $453 billion in notional, at least, what they said it was worth on paper, commercial real estate value. Up to the pandemic, 95% of commercial real estate space was occupied across the U.S., but now occupancy has plunged, you ready, to 10%. And only recovered as high as not quite half. This according to a new NBER report, which claims the result, $453 billion in commercial real estate value has been wiped out. They call it the office real estate apocalypse. Are we surprised at all by that, David? I guess no, but it's just part of the bigger picture. Go ahead.
Well, no, we're not at all surprised by that. You know, what we're looking at is a tsunami of worthless paper that has been ascribed value by legislative fiat. Let's go back to that for a minute. We're really to dignify these things as dollars is it's, you know, to buy into their game. These are not dollars, they're notes. They're IOUs. So we have in circulation around the world IOUs, their notes, their promises to pay, but we treat them like dollars. And this is where it gets a little complicated and people get confused is, and this is the private nature of what we're dealing with. And so they're running up the IOU debt to where, you know, they can print these IOUs. And it's just a game of IOU. Everything on this planet is bought by a promise to pay. Everything is bought by a note. And the whole real estate lending and derivative market is all founded on a fictitious ideology that fiat currencies are actual value in money, and they're not.
They're worth something.
And this is a really important, I think this is the most important conversation that we could actually have at this time, at this junction in our, in the history of the world, because that's what mammon is. Mammon is subscribing to the notion that these private organizations can buy everything up on this planet using an IOU that ultimately never gets paid because they're, it's private currency. And so those that are behind this private currency, there's one agenda they have, and it's to enslave the people of the planet using their, what we call money, but it's using their, what is actually currency, which is actually private notes in circulation.
Remember,
Mark, go ahead.
Do you remember when the Brooklyn Bridge joke used to be a big deal? People would talk about a shyster and say, hey, you know, you want to buy the Brooklyn Bridge? I'll sell you the Brooklyn Bridge. Well, it turns out that what's going on today really kind of makes that joke passe, because they're doing worse than that. You know, we can print up as much money as you want. I'll give you a note. I'll give you an IOU for $1 billion to buy the Brooklyn Bridge. Hey, oh, it sounds like a good deal. No, it's not. And neither is the $1 billion that supposedly underlies it, because a dollar has no meaning. And what do I mean by that? Well, it means that if I tell you something is an inch long, or something weighs 4 pounds, or something is, 87 centimeters in diameter, there's literally a standard for each one of those, because it's a unit of real measure, a weight or volume or mass or length. And in this case, a dollar has no definition in law. It used to be defined in terms of so many grains of fine silver, hasn't been for years. And what does that mean? It means it's not worth anything real. It's just worth what somebody will give you for it if they're stupid enough to take it today. All right, let me throw out one more story that'll help make that point. This is from the National Desk.
Before you Before you go to the next story, I just wanted to throw out that it's not necessarily restricted to a gold or silver. It could be attached to the value of, say, someone's labor or a basket of commodities or something. But the point is that money is always a representation of value, which is always attached to something of value. And when we call this thing fiat, I'm going to go around this one more time. What the Federal Reserve System, what the globalist agenda, what these digital currency agenda, what they're doing is they're counterfeiting, but the legislatures of the world have made that okay. So they've made what is otherwise a death punishable offense, an offense punishable by death, whether it be usury or whether it be counterfeiting, the legislatures of the world have carved out an exemption for this private organization to rule the world because, you know, like Amsor Rothschild said, give me control over a nation's currency and I care not who makes the law. So these people are, that's how they got control over the legislatures in the nations of the world, is because they were given a license to steal with a private note, and really that's what we're facing right now in the world. Go ahead, Mark.
That's absolutely correct. Well, so you've got people. Here's the story I was going to do. More Americans are pulling their 401k funds because inflation. They can't afford to pay for the grocery bills that used to cost $100, which was outrageous a couple years back, now cost $400, but wait till it costs $10,000. So they're dumping the money out of their 401k. Well, why? Well, A, they need it, and B, hey, the 401k isn't making as much money as inflation is taking away anyway. Why not? And that leads me to a definition of something I've mentioned a number of times before, and I think it's important because I think we're getting closer by the day. Ludwig von Mises, one of the Austrian school economists, matter of fact, one of the fathers of what became called the Austrian school because he was Austrian, essentially pointed out there comes a time, and you can see it in every hyperinflation, whether we're talking Weimar Germany or Zimbabwe or America, probably real soon now. Americans may not be quite as smart as the people in Germany were, so it may take them a bit longer, but they'll get it. Anyway, it boils down to this. When the average guy with a wallet full of paper money or an account full of bits on a computer that can be wiped out even faster, when he realizes, wait a minute, those bits are never going to be worth as much ever as they are right now. They won't even be worth as much tomorrow as they are now. Then what? I better just unload them. I like to use the example of the game of old maid, where you don't want to get caught with the old maid. Well, that's how it'll be with dollars. You got to unload them while they're still worth something. And you can hear all kinds of stories about the people that, had a wheelbarrow that was stolen. It was full of German Reichsmarks. And the woman who couldn't find anything physical to invest in, so she had to buy bedpans because it was the only thing that was available to get rid of her Reichsmarks before it was too late. We're going to hear similar stories about the almighty fiat dollar as it comes apart. And I've said it before, David, a lot of times, I don't think most Americans will wake up to it until they see the shelves at Walmart empty. And here's the irony, we're getting there too, and they're not yet aware of that.
Well, here, let's nail this. Let's just nail this to the actual point, okay? The entire monetary system is fake. We've bought into it with our faith, and we believe in it, and to the degree that we believe in it, everything's okay. But once that faith in something begins to teeter, and once we begin to realize that we've been had and that this particular private organization or this private club, this cabal, whatever you want to call it, has purchased the entire planet and all of the assets thereon with fake value that is enriching them and stealing from us, and that's called unjust enrichment, by the way. But you can't raise these issues in court because the courts have bought into it. So the entire system is perpetuated by this fake monetary world, and as a result, we have capitulated, and that's called mammon. And so this is the result of serving mammon. You people like mammon? Well, you know, this is the way we went. It was all about how much we could get, you know, easy money, you know, the roaring 20s. You know, it was because of the reliance on the credit system and the currency of the fake that of money that that we even have the appearance of prosperity at all. If we were bound and limited by having to cancel debt every 7 years and, you know, by having to give property back every 50 years, that would restrain our ability to have multi-billionaires on this planet relative to fake money. You see, but we would rather go down the material road and see how much we can get and go along with, you know, go along to get along and dog eat dog and all of the financial principles of cutthroat and the psychopathic tendencies that ultimately promote evil and put psychopaths in power versus a spiritual community where we as the children of God on this planet live in accordance with principles that actually benefit each other because we're serving each other. And see, there's the distinction between serving God and serving man. One makes us rich, the other one makes me poor to the degree that I have to serve others. And because Jesus said, if you want to be great in the kingdom, you got to serve, you got to be the servant. And so it's all about giving and the principle of getting rather than the principle of getting, excuse me. And we've come so far off. We've come so far off any idea of the principle of the kingdom that it sounds ludicrous to even suggest it, Mark. Go ahead.
All right. Well, you know, at this point, I guess what I got to do, I'm not going to disagree because what you said was right on. However, when it comes to culpability, you know, the Bible also says my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. It blames the priests, the ones that were supposed to teach his instruction. They have failed to teach the difference between right and wrong, between the holy and the profane. Over and over again, people are destroyed because they choose to be stupid. They choose to be ignorant. They choose to not walk in his ways. But, you know, on the other side of the coin, there's this. I was as you were speaking, remembering the famous quote from John Maynard Keynes. At least it's famous among those who studied economics. He said, you know, the beauty of inflation, and I'm paraphrasing a bit, is that not one man in a million will be able to figure out what we're doing to him. Ha, ha, ha. So he literally came out and admitted it. And the problem is, the people that don't realize, you know, the principles of economics, they can't understand why dishonest weights and measures are called an abomination. Well, what's dishonest about a fiat dollar? Answer, if you follow it through, if you understand it, you'll recognize it. But most people simply don't. Solomon famously said, you know, the problem when people do evil is that the penalty for an evil work, sometimes it takes a while. In other words, there's this lag thing. So the heart of men is set in them to do wickedness because they don't see that the wickedness has a ripple effect that eventually comes around and bites them in the you-know-where. So the fiat money, well, it takes a while before it blows up and destroys everything. And as it turns out, the length of time it takes to destroy things is a bit more than 50 years. You can actually go through the math. You can look and see it, you know, at rates of usury in 3 to 6%. When do things blow up? And the answer is, after about a human lifetime, they blow up. So, now, this is not me saying this is the reason why Yah did this. He has reasons that are beyond our ken. But one of the benefits of walking in obedience is every 50 years a jubilee would come along and pull the breaker, reset, pull the big reset lever and say, hey, you know, we're not going to let this get out of control to where it destroys entire societies. And that's where we are. By having failed on the Liberty Bell principle, proclaim liberty throughout the land and do the reset, well, now we're going to get a really, really hard reset that's going to cost people not just their fortunes and their sacred honor, but more than their lives. And we're going to see that, sad as it may be.
You know, since the time of the resurrection, the establishment, Sanhedrin back in the day, set out to exercise damage control over who this man Yeshua was and what he was up to. And lest we forget, this guy rides into Jerusalem on a donkey and he goes into the temple and he throws over the money changers' temple. Why? Because they were engaged in profiteering by buying and selling of currency and making a profit when the currency was sold. It was an abomination then. It's an abomination now. It got Messiah killed. And, you know, a lot of times I'll ask a Christian, well, why did Jesus die? You know, well, we had to die for our sins. Yeah, but what was the factual things going on? Because there was something going on. He was challenging the fake Pharisees and the fake Sadducees and the fake Sanhedrin who were operating under a license from Rome that to which they owed tribute for their existence, and they were it was a completely corrupt system back in the day, and he called them out on it then, and we're dealing with the same problem now. And so the church is basically remiss because of its ignorance. My people perish for lack of knowledge, like you said, and my people perish for lack of a vision. Are we going to captivity for lack of knowledge? I don't remember which one it is. The vision that we were given by Yeshua was seek ye first the kingdom of heaven. That's the vision. So the leaders set a vision for us. But oh no, we don't want to do that first. We just do that when we get around to it. If we actually even get around to it, because it's one of the least talked about things inside the institutional churches who have bought in and perpetuated the lie of the fiat currency. The churches haven't told their people what's going on. They just want their coffers filled too. So everybody's got their hand out in this system, and we're not knowing the truth. And as a result, we're facing right now extinction, because if we stand up, we get smashed by a system that wants us to fight it because it's provoking us. That's what it's doing. It's kicking sand in our face and poking us in the eye. I mean, everything the Biden administration's doing is about is contemptuous. It's contempt of the sovereignty of the people. These people are blatantly showing us that they could care less about any kind of principles of righteousness or truth. And so we're confronted with this absolute dilemma where if we stand up and fight, they are justified in conquering us because, you know, ultimately they want chaos anyway. That's what they want. So they're saying, come on, because we would like nothing more for you to step up and fight us so that we can finish the chaos that we started and ultimately have a cover story behind which they can hide to implement their monetary
system. Okay.
What an amazing, amazing dilemma we've been faced with, or we are facing right now, Mark.
Okay, so here's always a question. We already know the answer. The Bible's given us the answer. It's come out of my people. It's don't take the mark of the beast. And no news there. We've talked about it. Advocated it for literally years at this point. However, the question always is, well, wait a minute, as you were saying, it's so hard. It's damned if you do, damned if you don't. Heads I win, tails you lose. Oh, I have to pay my bills. They're going to cut off my electricity. My kid won't get to go to school and be turned into a little transgendered, weenie-less, I don't know what you end up kind of a creature of the state. Oh, no. Yeah. The answer is come out of her. Okay, how and why now? Well, here's one of the stories that I think will help to make this clear. Global central banks, this is from Leo Holman, are now racing, hey, here's a surprise, to implement digital currencies as part of the conversion of the big leftist cesspool cities to smart structures. Tracking and control grids being built right under our noses. Literally, what's being done, I heard a great term I like. It was essentially an invisible digital gulag in the smart cities, a concentration camp that is being built. They're gonna herd people into these digital, literal, invisible concentration camps. And, you know, it's 5G is key. 5G is deadly, of course, as a double E. I know I don't want those damn things anywhere close, but they're part of the solution. If you need to have the bandwidth and the low latency so that Big Brother, in a satanic sense, could be omnipotent, watch everything, see everything, know everything, and you'll have to have your digital ID to participate, to live in the wonderful smart city where you'll be controlled. So essentially, this thing is going on worldwide. Again, what can we do? Come out of her. Now, there are lots of ways to come out of her and simply say, I'm not going to participate. People uses the term kasef, which means money, and it also means silver. And I've said this 100 times, because silver, by the way, is also constitutional money, as is gold, as if we had a constitution. So what can we do? Well, answer, we need to start saying now, I'm going to come out. Okay, I have skills. You know, if you're a butcher, a baker, a candlestick maker, the way that it was done hundreds of years ago was you set up a shop, you got your neighbors, you sold stuff. Did you have to have a license from the almighty state? Well, not until the guilds and similar kind of things started moving us down this path towards world global antichrist socialism, if you will. But prior to that, you just said, okay, I make candles. I can do a good job making candles. I can sell wool. I can raise sheep or goats. I can pull teeth. I can help people set bones. I have whatever skill, and it's a marketable skill. Well, I'll trade for it. Turns out that something that was, you know, divisible and fungible had all these wonderful characteristics as money. As you pointed out, David, there are other things that will work. If people smoked more, cigarettes would work. In certain communities, drugs will work. But literally, if it's a commodity that is kind of universal and valuable and portable, gold works great. But gold is also considered the money of kings because a little gold goes a long way. Silver, the money of the essentially the middle classes. And it was copper throughout history for the very poor. But it still beats the fiat that they're going to have now. So again, one of the things, very key, understand the control grid that's being built. If you're in a place where you won't have a choice about whether they put a 5G, literally poison emissions center right outside your bedroom window, if you don't have a choice, you better get yourself a new bedroom. Go somewhere where you can. And up here in the boondocks, and I'm sure your situation is similar, I've been encouraging the neighbors when they come to you and they say, we want to give you free internet if you'll let us put these towers across your property. And you know, you've got some acreage here. We need to get over and poison those people down at the far end there. The answer is no. You do not have. You will not be allowed to put your crap on my property. And my goal is to make sure that there's none of this anywhere close to any of us. And I encourage people to do likewise. It's part of the way we break, as best we can, the grid that is being built around us. And we don't want to be in it. Go ahead.
Okay, so let me add to your come out of her, my people. Let's distinguish what, for the sake of conversation. That means to withdraw your consent. It means to mentally refuse to assent to your own demise. It means to not cooperate with your enslavement. It means to turn your back on from mammon. If the people of the church would start giving their money to each other rather than an institution for the upkeep of a building, then we would be operating more in line with what Yeshua had in mind, and the book of Acts as it's talking about setting up the kingdom of heaven on earth. It's an economic system. There is an economic system, and the church institution has been benefiting from it, but the people have not. So we're tithing to institutions like the Catholic Church or whatever church, you know, particular church is insisting that we pay tithe to it. And meanwhile, the people are forsaken by the church. We're not taught the truth. We're not taught about economics, and we've missed the point of the flow of wealth and the right establishment of value. We've institutionalized something that should be completely natural. So we need to naturalize economy and commerce by pulling away and stop feeding the beast. Stop giving money to a harlot that is called Mystery Babylon, which is a fake church, which is a fake institution on the planet that is an imposter pretending to be the church of God on the planet. All right, so the body of Christ is people. We give to each other, and we don't need to depend on the institution anymore. And I think that it's as simple as when this time comes where we're looking at having to join a transhumanist system and receive a chip so that we can be part of the internet of people. We have to look to each other and actually find the connection and use the Holy Spirit as the connection between the members of the body of Christ. And that's how we survive the what's coming in the form of, you know, we can't take that mark, and no, I'm not going to get a chip in my brain that plugs me into your mental internet. No, I refuse. And so that's where we've got to come together and help each other get through what's coming, because that system will ultimately fall by its own weight because it's a lie. And
all right, there it is. Well, there you go. Well, we are out of time, folks, but thanks for being with us. Have a blessed weekend. Shabbat Shalom.